we have been having some very interesting times. And today I'm going to continue on how to honor. Now, we've been having conversations around what it actually means to, you know, since I'm just starting on it, but we'll take a detour on how to practically, you know, honor. We said that the word honor is to revere, right? Is to treat as sacred or to treat as uncommon. So a man could be called an honorable man when he knows how to revere. You know, he knows how to revere and he knows how to treat as uncommon. I had a leading many times to start adding quite a few tips for relationships in my teachings. So from now on, you just might hear a few tips on that, because it's very intentional. I don't do anything unintentionally. Yes, so I'm not going to be talking about those things because they are a very vital part of whatever it is that you do. But like I said, is that you will be revere and you will be able to love and you'll be able to treat something as uncommon. You know, I can tell you this for free, is that anybody that reveres a thing, the one that reveres it, you become very beautiful in the one that receives the honor from you, who reveres or who can see. So many times a lady is going to be more beautiful than she naturally looks if she can have a heart that reveres her husband. Yes, it's true. It's true. So you see that the more reverence you give towards your married man, the more he will see you very differently. And I'm telling you, gospel truth. But when he talks, and then you also talk, in fact, you give 25 reasons why his whatever, it doesn't make sense, then over time, you begin to look ugly in his sight. You try it and see. The married couples ask them, say, but this is here, you can ask him. So the more beautiful his wife is going to look in his eyes is how much she's able to revere, she's able to submit, she's able to listen to. Sometimes he's clearly, maybe the guy is clearly missing it. But you don't just open your mouth and say, you have missed it. You are a very foolish misser. Oh, he's going to get angry. And then he would start seeing you in a certain way. It means you are beginning to lose that beauty that he saw. So everybody looks beautiful in the sight of the one that receives the honor. Yes. Yes. That's why you can see a beautiful woman and then the man is saying that, please, I don't even want to see her. Because that which should make her pleasant is not there. It's not there. It's not there. That which should make her pleasant is not there. So many times when you're able to revere and see a man of God in a certain light. Then what is upon him can rub off on you or can be attracted to you. Yeah, it's true. What is upon a man of God cannot be attracted for you. It means it does not see you as beautiful or honorable enough. It can be attracted to you. So I'm going to show you how you can do it. This is not practical. It's not, scriptures as we did before. How? Number one, you honor someone by paying attention to his words. You honor someone by paying attention to his words. In fact, God cannot have a dealing with you if you don't pay attention to his words. He can't have a dealing with you if you don't pay attention to his words. So in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 20, someone should also open Proverbs 7:24. Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words. 4:20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Attend to my words. Pay attention. Attend to my words. Listen. Hearken your ears to my words. Proverbs 7:24. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Attend to the words of my mouth. Many times, your addiction to a person's words reveals the honor you have for the person. So remember, don't forget, we spoke about honor. We're honoring God, Jesus, ministers of the gospel, then fellow believers. And fellow believers now entail our spouses, wives, children, colleagues at work, everything that we find ourselves, or everywhere that we find ourselves. So if you say that you honor your pastor, your addiction to your pastor's words taught you from the word of God reveals the honor you have for the person. Your addiction to the words of Jesus reveal the honor that you have for Jesus. You see that some people are Jesus or something and then say, oh, but the word of God says this. Even Matthew chapter, say, oh, no, it's not this one. It's not the word of God matter. Close the Bible. Let's deal with it facts. You see, it means that there is no honor for the person. There's no honor you have for Jesus. Because if you did, you would have listened to what his word says. So your addiction to a person's messages is going to reveal the honor you have for them and the respect you have for them as well. So when you don't read your Bible, let me break it down for you so that you'll be scared not to. It means what you literally say is that I don't care about what you have to tell me. I don't care. I can live my life alone. Yeah. Because if you honor what God's word says, even when it feels like you are not understanding, you are trying to understand. At least you are trying to read a passage. It's like it's not there, but the understanding has not come yet. The revelation has not shot up, grown fully in you yet. But you are striving and struggling. Matthew 6:8. What does it mean? Jesus said, Yeah, you are striving. It's a strive to understand. That will mean that you put honor on what the person's word says. Yeah. Many times, those who do not listen to the preaching messages or the sermons are the ones who do not respect the messages. They don't respect the messages. They feel like the messages are too simple. So they rather not listen. They will listen to one apostle because they don't honor their pastor's words. Apostle A, Apostle B, Apostle C, Apostle D. And they are swimming in channels of apostles. You said, you didn't say I should teach you honor, but the Spirit of God said I should teach you honor. So I'm teaching you. Don't be shocked. That's what it means. You don't listen, you don't honor. You don't care. You don't care. Paying attention to someone's words or someone's advice is evidence that you honor the person whom you listen to, whom you follow, whose words you attend to, is a sign that you honor the person, that you really honor the person. Yeah. So you hear some, there are some people around me like that. There was a time someone was telling me and how that this fellow had an issue at home, and then, you know, she had to address the issue. And I was listening very keenly, and she said, "Pastor, I remember you said this, and I remember you said that, and I remember you said this, and I remember you said that. So based on this and this and this, I added them together, and it worked. It marvelously worked. I took something, but I said, no, this person listens to the words. They can listen. They understand. They can. They don't forget. Yeah. And it worked. And the next time something happened, and the person's dad said, please go and handle it. And she handled it the same way again. I said, it worked. So those who seem to want to bring up things on their own, like they want to think things, they can't listen to the teachings. They can't say, pastor said this. Pastor said this. Pastor, meanwhile, I even write from Kenneth Hagin. Don't say, I post Kenneth Hagin, and Kenneth Hagin said, and I put his name there. Yeah, put his name there. It means that I honor him. That's what it means. If you didn't know, it's just that maybe you're just thinking, we just like to post and put it there. No. There is no quote on Kenneth Hagin. I'll write it just raw like that and not say Kenneth Hagin said this. I'll put his name there because I honor him. I cannot forget his words. And the funny thing is, I never met him when he was alive. I never met him. But look at his words working for me. When you give advice to somebody, they don't listen. They still say, oh, Pastor said we should do it this way, but I'm still of the opinion that we have to consider they don't listen. Then you advise them to do it like they'll say, I'm also thinking that based on a few, that means your pastor is not wise. And that's what you're trying to say. I'm not wise. He said, go here. He said, Pastor, I want to go here before I come here. Why are you telling me you want to go here before you come here? I didn't know you could go there before I come here. I said, go there. Sometimes I pay attention to the least of things you never know I pay attention to. You never know. You just think you just do it on a facade. Yeah. And sometimes they are intentional. If you don't know, I'm telling you, they are intentional. I do it like this. Say, Pastor, please, I want to do it like this before I come here and I do it like that, before I go here. And I'm like, no, it's not supposed to be so. Sit here. You say, no, it's raining. So, Pastor, please, it's raining. It's raining. I had to travel to move to another place to sit there because there was no rain. Me, I didn't know that it was raining. I told you to sit there. A prophet shares a story. Very interesting story. We didn't even mention their names because shouldn't even keep their names. It was Prophet Angel and Prophet Bushiri. Back then, Bushiri was a very young boy. And he went to meet Prophet Angel. He got in there and they said they were not going to allow him. He forced his way into. They finally allowed him. And then they called Prophet Angel. And Prophet Angel gave him an instruction. He said, Bushiri, what's your name? Bushiri, sit here and wait for me. That was all. He sat there. It was in the evening. Sat there. They locked the place. Because he would not go out. He sat there the next day. So Prophet came inside and met him. And Prophet was shocked. And Prophet said, you have been sitting here from morning till evening till the next day? That was how Prophet took him serious. Many years ago, that was how he took him serious. Because you know, this guy listens. He was not going to say, Prophet says he's going to come back. He's gone. And he doesn't have his number to call. Maybe if he had his number, he would have called to find out. Prophet, please, should I leave? Or but the worker said that he said, no. Prophet said he should sit here. He didn't say he should leave. Or he said he should sit here and wait for him. If you were like this, God would take you seriously. Because when I say something, you don't listen. When another man of God says something, there's like you are listening. You should be sacked out of this place. I'm telling you. Hey, who is that? We should sack you out of this place. And to hear from another whatever apostle before you now believe that what I'm saying is true. If you don't believe what I'm saying is true, leave this place and find somewhere that you believe what they are saying is true. And I'm saying something, I have to quote somebody said this before you now hear that what I'm saying is true. Please, just leave this place. We don't like people like that here. And let only those people who believe what they are receiving is true receive. Which man of God has said it so that we can believe it? Find another man of God that you believe in. Find that place and stay there. Yeah. So you're going to honor by paying attention to words. Don't be mistaken. Don't say, Pastor, I thought you said. No, don't think for me. Eh? Don't think for me. When I say something to you, don't thought. No. Think, do the same thing. Don't say, I thought. Why are you thoughting when I'm telling you to do something? Why are you thoughting? I thought you said we should. I thought you meant. What do you mean by I thought? I thought you meant. When there's something I'm telling you, are thoughting I meant. What are words there? You don't like my teaching this evening. Whether you like it or not, I'm teaching you. So you're gonna honor. By paying attention to words. Some of you be saying, Pastor said we should do it like this, but I think we should do it like this. Why are you thinking we should do it like that? Pastor said we should do it like this. Let's all do it like that. Simple. We don't want any additions or separate. Pastor said, do it like this. We're doing it like that. So you're going to pay attention to your pastor's words if you can honor. I'm teaching you practically what it means to honor. Practically. Yeah. Some of you, because of some things I've not taught you, when you do them, I still just say, he's going to learn eventually, or she's going to learn eventually. But now I'm teaching you. Now I'm teaching you. Because some of you grew up in families and homes where you can dishonor and say anything you want to say. It's very wrong. And the results of such an attitude is very detrimental. There are some things, I never heard them anywhere. I just honored. That was all. My heart was good. You can ask those who have come to my room before, even when I was in the university, we were four in a room. When you come to my corner, you see men of God's pictures. There were two men of God there. You see it there. Those who have come to my room before, you see it there. I've never seen it anywhere, but I just know that, it's good to recognize something like this around where you stay. Just recognize it. That's a good thing. Just see it. It's not idolatry. It is recognition. You're able to say, I can tell that this thing is wonderful. And there were words I wrote right on the wall. Printed them, wrote them, stamped them on the wall. Because I honor those words very much. So you will honor by paying attention to words spoken to you. I'm teaching you practically. Number two, I'm sure I'll end on the third point before the time is up. You show honor by paying attention without answering back or arguing. You show honor by paying attention without answering back or arguing. Titus chapter 2 verse 9. Titus chapter 2 verse 9. Some of your parents who say something, you are already. What is the honor your father and your mother? You don't answer or argue. He says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things. Now, this is even secularly, these are your bosses at work. Then he says, not answering again. Don't answer back. Don't say, the way things are and we have to do. Don't answer. They just give you an instruction. You honor by paying attention. You honor by listening. You honor by hearing what they have to say. Don't be a dishonorable person by trying to argue. No, but it was this. It was that. Oh, no. But say, it's this way. Oh. Just keep quiet. Yes, sir. And do it right. Don't keep quiet. And it's like their words are falling on hardened hearts and hardened grounds. No, you keep quiet. You listen to what they have to say. Don't answer back. Don't say, what you are saying, I understand. But say, I think you are also not viewing it from this angle. Pastor, what you are saying is true, but, if we consider the way things are moving right now, we have to, even servants, they are asked to obey and pay attention to their instructions. Paying attention, it causes you not to answer back. Be obedient, he says. Pay attention. When you have continuous retorts and arguments in defense of your actions, they are a sign of a lack of respect and a lack of honor. That's what it means. You're trying to defend your action. It's a sign that I don't respect you. And I don't honor you. When you're listening to instructions, don't answer back. It takes time to form an answer. Don't argue. Don't argue with your bosses. Don't argue with your parents. Don't argue with your superiors or whatever. Don't argue with your pastor. Don't argue with it. Just keep quiet. Let me tell you something. Me, I have a very interesting lifestyle. If I'm speaking to a superior, everything he says is right. Even when I know that this thing he's saying is wrong. I only say it's wrong in my head. I never say it's wrong outside. Or I never try to give a wiser, whatever, opinion. And I don't have a problem with superiors having things wrongly. I don't have a problem with it at all. At all. I mean, you can be talking to me, this and this and this, and I know very well that what you are saying is, you never see that I argue or I try to give a response. I see. That's fine. So when you are given the opportunity to share in your thoughts, to share in your ideas, to share in your whatever, and you can put it in honorably and respectfully, that is it, this thing is wrong. So you're going to honor by paying attention, not answering back, not arguing. Don't argue. Don't try to put yourself on the right path. Oh, I'm right. No, you are wrong. If you were right, they wouldn't tell you you are wrong. Don't argue. Okay? Don't argue. Those of you in relationships, don't argue. Learn to accept wrongs. Like, learn to, oh, I'm wrong. Oh, I'm sorry. This one, I didn't see it well. Don't argue. Don't argue. They do something and it's wrong, they tell you. Just say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see it like this. Why is it that you didn't see it? Why is it that you didn't? He didn't see. He just said he's sorry. So why don't you just get on along and flow in the friendships that you have? In your natural friendships, don't argue. When we argue amongst ourselves, we don't honor ourselves. And me, I can listen to. If you know me very well, I can sit with somebody. And what the person is saying is bogus. And I know very well in my mind it doesn't make any sense. You see me listening. Until the person says, do you have anything to say? I'm like, then I start to talk and then the person feels like, nah, I've really messed up. What I was saying, there's no sense in it. But I never have anything to say forcefully. Like, I want you to listen to me. Those who have been around me long enough, you hardly have me have unless I know maybe you are open to learning, then you see that I'm always talking to you and I'm trying to show you something that I realized, I'm trying to show you something that I've observed. Besides that, I'm a good listener. I can listen to people for as long as they are willing to speak. As long as they are willing, I'm ready to listen. I don't have anything to say. As long as they are willing to speak, I don't try to say, you should also listen to my side of the story. Or I try to draw the conversation to myself. I'm very fine with listening to whatever it is you have to say. So, you're going to honor paying attention, not answering back. Third one, final one. Tomorrow we'll just continue on the same. You also honor someone by paying attention to all instructions, big or small. You pay attention to all instructions, big or small. You know, some people are used to paying attention to big instructions. And then the small ones, I want you to do this. They are forgotten. Why do you forget something that you have been told to do? It means you don't see it as worthy of doing. So you forget. you forget. Forgetfulness is a sign that what you are telling me, see, Pastor, is not important. So I've forgotten it. In John chapter 2, verse 5 to 8, when Jesus' mother had to speak to the people who were in need of wine, you know what he said? His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, he do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And theologians actually say that this particular story, the water that they filled with the water pots was not clean water. It was dish water, or water that, you know, was not really clean. Yeah, it was dish water. So just whatever he has told you to do, do it. Do it. Fill the water pots. Fill the water pots. Not, Jesus, are you sure we're going to use dish water to fill the water pots? No, he said, fill the water pots with water. Don't go and bring fill the water pots with stones. He's not saying fill it with stones. He said fill it with water. Fill it with water. And they fill it with dirty water. Yeah, that's water. Dish water, they filled it. Not that, Jesus' mother, I want to ask you something. You're in need of wine. But we just heard him saying that you should fill it with water. We are not in need of water. We are in need of wine. Mary will say to that fellow, whatsoever he says, do, do. But you know, water is not what, I just wanted to make you understand that water, wine, they are not the same. It's water we are talking about. And then, if we go and serve this water to this king right now, and this king tries to drink this water, already he has drunk. If we try to serve him water, in Mary, whatsoever he says, do it. Mary, are you sure? Should we fill it with water? Oh, whatsoever says, do it. Go and do it. And then they go and do it. You see, whatever attitude I'm showing you is still a sign of dishonor. I don't place premium on the words, because I need to ask you a lot of times. I need to be sure. Like, are you sure you are trying to say, do you mean, Pastor, what are you saying? I mean, yes, you said it, but are you sure? No, that's, you see, people who are dishonorable people, they need a lot of the same instructions to get them to do one thing. I'm telling you. You need to say it again and again before they do. Honorable, you just say it once, they've done it. You know, are you sure? Are you sure you are saying that we should Pastor, please, I wanted to ask you, like, we want to be sure if you are saying that this thing will work. No, it's a sign of dishonor. Just listen. He said, fill the water pots with water. Fill them with water. Are you listening? You're going to be people of honor. Fill it with water. So when I have to repeat something, big, small, don't choose the big ones and leave the small. The small ones are as important as the big ones. The small ones, they are as important as the big ones. So don't choose what you choose to listen to and what you choose not to listen to. And when you find people who are dishonorable about you, about instructions that have come, put them in the right place. Don't smile with dishonorable people. They will cast off their canker on you. They'll cast off their canker on you. Hey, you people, you really honor this your pastor. you people, what is wrong with you? Omo, that's the day you just say, no, we can't be friends. We cannot work together. I don't have friends with people who don't like the people I teach or the people I listen to. I don't like them around. I don't want to have anything to do with them. Lest they cast off their canker of dishonorable, their dishonorable nature on me. They cast off that canker on me. I don't want to have anything to do with them. You two don't have anything to do with them. Become suddenly cold and unresponsive to people who are dishonorable. Yes. They don't like what you like, don't have anything to do with them. I'm telling you, there's no time. We have like 7 minutes. I would have shown you how that is going to affect you. It will affect your receiving. It will affect the way God should bless. Use the person to bless you. So when you listen to small or large instructions, small or big, it shows that you honor. Even something that pastor laughs and he says, just passingly says, you're already doing it because you have that heart of honor. So you're yielding, you're agreeing, your compliance with all instructions, they are a manifestation of your honor for someone. You see, many people obey what they think is sensible and they leave out what they think is not necessary. Many people, they obey what they think is, oh, this one makes sense. Now they leave out what they think is not necessary. So by leaving out certain instructions, you are saying that some of the instructions given, they were nonsense. Despise those instructions. You have no respect for those inappropriate instructions. You have no respect for those domestic instructions. You don't have any respect for anything, whatever. You just don't have any respect. By your actions, you declare that you reject all the nonsensical, inapplicable instructions and all the things that you are rejecting them. You are just, they don't make any sense. Pay attention to all instructions, especially the little things. Fast on Wednesdays. Oh, pastor, I have my fast already on Tuesday. So I'll fast on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I'll just eat. Because my day for fasting is just Tuesday. And it is not Wednesday that has been given. So I fast on Tuesday. I will not fast on Wednesday. I will fast 3 days dry. And I will not fast on the Wednesday. They are saying we should all fast. You are very dishonorable. You are a very dishonorable person. We should get you out of our midst, lest you cast your canker on us. We are praying at 5. You intentionally pray from 12 to 2. Then at 5, you don't show up. Somebody's going to be crazy. We shouldn't have these people in our midst. They shouldn't be in our midst. They shouldn't be here. They should find somewhere where they can enjoy themselves or, you know, just have themselves. They shouldn't be here. I'm going to teach you another important way of walking in honor. You honor somebody by thinking properly about them. You honor somebody by thinking properly about them. Mark chapter 6, verse 2 to 5. Mark chapter 6, verse 2 to 5. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? So you see that? Where does he think he gets his wisdom from? Who is he? He thinks he can just come here and just teach us something. Who does he think he is? So they're asking, this is Jesus they're talking to. So from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? So they're not thinking properly now. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and of Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? Don't we know his family? And they were offended at him. So practically, you're not going to take this route. You're going to honor by thinking properly. You see, honor, sometimes, I'm going to talk about that maybe tomorrow. But you can show honor when you don't even have anything material to give. That is honoring with substance. There's also honoring without substance. Yes, is to think rightly. So Jesus was marveled about how he was not honored. But you see, even the exact Greek word of the word honor, truth is, it actually communicates giving. Yes, but that's not what I came to talk about this evening. Yes. So, he marveled that he was not honored. The people were questioning him. They were not believing in him. They were doubting him. They were being offended at him. So, when you do not have a proper kind of a thinking about your pastor or about the brethren, then you are walking in dishonor. Have you seen some people say, they can't tell us what to do. We must tell them what we want them to do. Pastor must show us what he is using our offering for. He must show us what he is using offering for. Show us. So when you doubt somebody's credibility, you are already peddling in dishonor. Yeah. You are peddling in dishonor. You are swimming in it. Because somebody said something about the person, you now start to say, don't we know him? We knew him already. He's a small boy when we already knew him. They said the pastor has done this all. And then you start to think wrongly about the person. You're already in the spirit realm. You are peddling in dishonor. And that's why many things like that, and many people like that, the moment that becomes your state, you stop receiving from that vessel. And I'm telling you, it's very spiritual. You stop instantly. There's nothing you receive from them. Go on Google. See how many bad things they wrote about Kenneth Hagin. I had to deal with some very interesting. I stumbled on someone. He said, Kenneth Hagin was like this. Kenneth Hagin was like that. So he had a serpentine spirit. Then, and he said, can't you see? That's why he hisses when he's speaking in tongues. I'm like, come on. Lot of interesting things. But that. If he had seven times, whatever, and he can write Bible like this and it opens our eyes, what are you talking about? Even the devil cannot get this revelation. The devil cannot get this revelation. I can tell you for a fact, and I don't like to say it, Kenneth Hagin is one of the clearest teachers and writers of the New Testament today. After Paul, I believe that. He came to put things in its rightful place. The body of Christ has never been the same. Yeah, it's never been the same. Many things that we find easy to explain today in the body was because he sets them clear in his writings from his study from other people. So you can't say he's done this and he's done that and he's that. Oh, what are you saying? What are you talking about? So the moment they start to throw things, their intention is to make you see wrongly, to make you think wrongly, to make you think wrongly about them. You're going to probably hear some funny things about me. It happens to every minister, but it should not change the way God sees me. It should not change. I was telling someone, I was saying, you'll be shocked. People are chastising certain men of God. When they stand before God, you'll be amazed for God to say, wow, that's my beloved servant. You'll be shocked. Meanwhile, that's the man they were chastising and they were insulting all over media. Meanwhile, God recognizes him. So you must be careful to think rightly. Make sure that in your thoughts, there is not that sense of, I don't trust. I can't walk with. I don't believe. You know, I must be cautious with this person. It's a sign of dishonor. Yeah. I must be careful. Look at him again. Yeah. And you see, you can lie to the man of God, like you can lie to him, but you can't lie to the grace on the man. Yes, it does not rub off on you. You can't see everything that you see about me. I can point it to you from where it came from. I can show it to you. I can show it to you. Everything that you see happening in my life, I can say that from here it started from this place. Yeah, because there was honor there. We're all here. All of us were here when my teaching ministry changed tremendously overnight. Yeah, overnight. Overnight. We're all here when I started to write more clearly overnight. So these are proofs of honor. These are proofs. Proofs. But when you see it and you don't think rightly about it, then it can't happen to you. See, anything you see happening in my life is just a function, first, of God's grace, and number two, recognizing that grace on other vessels. Yeah. I know where that glory seems to come from in the place of worship. I know where it came from. I know where it came from. I know where it comes from. I'm not blind of the fact that this thing, this is because I honor this thing. So when you recognize and you begin to think rightly of, it starts to rub off on you. Yes, it starts to rub off on you. Many things have rubbed off on me. Many things have rubbed off on me. In fact, I don't struggle to receive things. Yes, because my heart, when my heart honors something, it truly honors that thing. I told someone, I can duplicate any grace I see. It's just a matter of time. I can do by the grace of God, unless I don't like it or unless I don't want it. And I'm showing you how it's via this attribute or attitude. Who ordained you? Are you called a pastor? Who ordained him? look, these small, small boys are getting up today and are causing you to follow them. It's just, all of these things are just taught to help you think wrongly. Think wrongly. Think wrongly. And they overplace emphasis on their pastor. They overlove their pastor. And I think it's almost like a cult. Almost like what? Then Jesus, you should have told John and Judas and Matthew and all of those people to go to John the Baptist's crusade while Jesus went on meetings. You have to leave people to do whatever they want. When we leave you to do whatever you want, what do you do? That's the question. What do you do? Leave them to do whatever they want to do and they are entitled to do whatever. What do you do? When they leave you, what do you do? And he doesn't even do this, he doesn't even do that. He's just teaching people, teaching people, teaching people. Don't listen to people. Don't listen to people. At least I'm showing you everything from God's word. And I'm showing you the proofs. You see, if I were just showing you talking, that would have been true. I'm showing you the proofs. Look at the proofs of the miracles. Look at the proofs of the healings. And we're yet going to see more. Look at the proofs of the flows. Look at the proofs of the weight in God's glory and presence. Look at that's the proofs. I got into a place, a guy had hearing aids in his ear, couldn't hear. There was no miracle service. There was no miracle, there was no keyboard, the ears popped open instantly after prayer. Yeah, open. These are viable proofs. Viable, they are there. They can be seen. So when I tell you that's how to do it like that, you also see it working. Yeah. You also see that it's working. Yeah. One of the times I heard God's voice very audibly was one of the times he told me, I've made you a fruitful bowl. I heard it very clear. I didn't even know it existed in the scriptures. Yeah. I prayed throughout the night in front of certain flowers in Bishop Dark's. There was a flowers there. And I prayed throughout the night. And I was standing there. And it was very loud and clear. If I didn't honor it, it's not. So when you listen to somebody, show us. When you show us, we'll listen to what you have to say. So you will honor by thinking rightly. You have the best thoughts about the person. Don't let anybody poison your thoughts. Do you know how many people don't like Kenneth Hagin? So it is important to think the right thoughts. Me, it's not like I'm saying it, you know, to be. But when I cast my love on something, it's like God. Oh. When I cast my love on something, it's you can't take it away. I'm telling you the gospel truth. It's like God choosing somebody. That's how my love casted on people are. That's how it is. Nothing takes it away. You can even tell me that the person has done this. I'll see the person and mesmerized again. Like, I love to be around the person. When I cast my love, it's like God. No matter the flower it comes with, I love relentlessly. Yeah. So, on some certain instances, I unashamedly relate with certain people. Because I intentionally made up, I was going to cast my love on this thing. I was going to love it. It's like God. People be saying, he's like this, he's like that. He's like this, he's like that. One of the greatest healing evangelists and miracle evangelists that ever lived, according to Robert Lydon, was A. Allen. Yeah. A. Allen, when he grew up, when he was as early as 2 years old, his parents were giving him alcohol because his mother drank alcohol, his father was a drunkard, alcohol. He grew up a small boy as early as two, drinking alcohol to bed. Drank alcohol for 23 years of his whole life. 23 years he had drunk, smoked, at a point that he could barely even speak. But that was somebody that God had casted his love on. So you can't change it. The gifts, the callings of God, they are without repentance. 23, he changes, believes the gospel, starts to walk here and there. Amazing things that God did with Eli Allen. Yes, amazing things. And at the end of the day, he was accused to die an alcoholic, but it wasn't true. It wasn't. I don't think it was true, because when you put the facts together and you read, it's not true. It's not true. He was heavily persecuted. Yeah. Yeah. But you'll be shocked. I'm telling you, don't be shocked when you stand in front of him, or when you both stand in front of God, and God is so petty and loving about A. Allen. Don't be shocked. That's the God we serve. When he loves you, he loves you. When he pours out his grace on you, he has poured it on you. So, you will honor by thinking rightly. Don't see the wrongs. Don't see the flaws people are pointing to you. You receive the person the way God sees the person. God saw the person and he put his grace on him. Don't worry about what somebody else is saying. You receive from that person and go. Receive from that person and go. So you're going to honor my thinking rightly. So you think well of him. You pour out your adulations, your praises. Yeah. It's true. See how I speak about Kenneth Hagin, how he has blessed my life. And you are suspecting, you are questioning, you are distrusting the person. You are doubting his words, disbelieving prophecies. It's like, what's this thing? Is it? A true son will learn to think rightly. So begin to think rightly. Begin to think rightly. Of your pastor, begin to think rightly. Think rightly. See, I'm telling you, let me tell you something. God uses, let me say it clearly, flawed men. I'll say it again. God uses flawed men. Now, he doesn't expect them to continually be flawed. But I'm telling you, the fact that somebody has a flaw does not prevent him from using that person. Now, he doesn't encourage that everybody stays flawed, but he can get right into the flaw and use the one that is flawed. He doesn't need a certain kind of a perfection. He is that perfection. When he enters into a man's heart, he perfects him himself. The presence of him in the place is perfection in itself. So he doesn't need any man to be perfected. Yeah. I can start mentioning men of God. It's just that I don't like to go in that area. Right from the healing movement and the healing, everybody had flaws. Everybody had something that they were not good at. Something that the media could not, or the media was hoping to jump on. Very few people had no issue with media and no recording with what people had to say about the person that they didn't like. Very few. Billy Graham was one. Very few. The rest of them, all of them. So when we see people with flowers, we shouldn't, don't let that be a reason why you start to see them in a certain way and they start to do that. Don't be that reason. Don't stop receiving from somebody because you saw that the person has a flower. You think rightly. Think rightly in your minds. Think rightly. Speak well of. Don't accuse. Don't blame. Don't denounce. Don't reproach. Don't disgrace. Don't humiliate. Don't reject. Think rightly. I was telling someone, I said, let me tell you, I'm not even saying this to whatever. God is not afraid of mistakes. Eh? Yes, the fact that mistakes can kill anybody does not mean God is afraid of mistakes. As we've started out like this, let me be honest with you. Our margins for making mistakes are very wide. If you don't know today, I'm telling you, they are very wide. Yeah. In the ministry, I'm telling you, that's God's heart. They are very well. You think God does not know that we are a bunch of young adults who are interested in doing His will? Oh, I mean, there'll be some things that we don't have to do that we'll do. I mean, nobody's saying that we'll just be perfect. Look at the teenagers He called who were disciples. There were things they were not supposed to do, and they did. Yeah. Things they were not supposed to say, they said. One time, He wanted to call down fire on one person. Jesus says, you know not what manner of spirit you have. Okay? So our margin is not, don't let people just have a good heart that wants to fulfill God's plan. That's all. That's all. Leave the mistakes. He can cater for them fully. He's not afraid of mistakes. In fact, if He is truly God, He works in those mistakes to actually produce something special. He works in those mistakes to produce something special. If you think you are seeing something in my life or in my ministry, you've not seen anything yet. These are just baby stages, stage 0.2. That's where we are now, stage 0.2. When you start to see fully fledged, opt maturity in ministry, that's when you see that no, God is in a man. That's not 0.2. What we are doing is 0.1. We've not even gotten to 1. We've not started yet. Yeah. You think this is how I'll be? No, this is not how I'll be. I'll be far, far anointed than this. Far anointed than you know me today. Far anointed. That's how you also be far anointed than you are today. Far, far. Plenty times more. Plenty times more. So you don't have to be afraid of. Just trust God. Have a good heart that wants to walk with Him and walk with Him. Even when you make mistakes, don't be worried. Just walk with Him. Just walk with Him. You want to think rightly. You want to think rightly. I've seen some interesting things, and God is telling me, you've not started yet. Not started yet. Soon we'll be picking out cancer from bodies and doing some very strange things that they only heard of maybe 20, 30, 50, 70 years, 80, 90 years ago. It will happen in our meetings. God will be scary in our midst. Yeah, not seeing anything yet. So don't let people cause you to think wrongly. There are some things I hear some people tell me or bring to me to tell me. And in my heart, I just smile. I'm like, no, this one, they care for learning. They are still learning. Pascal, they are still learning. They are still learning. So I give room for that learning curve as well, because people are still learning. And if God is patient with them, I should be patient with them too. I should be patient with them too. Yeah. As I said, we will make mistakes. Mistakes by the grace of God. But God will work in those mistakes and He will make them beautiful and wonderful. The mistakes will not kill us and they will not destroy us in Jesus' name. Yes, they will not. They will not. Once our hearts are right, they will not. They will not do that. Yeah. So don't be afraid of what somebody else is saying. There are some things in 5 years to come, I will not handle them the way I presently handle them. Yes, because I would have matured. That's true. If you think I'm wise now, you should wait to see me in a few years. I'll be far wiser, far more experienced, far more anointed, far more graced, far more. Yeah. But God works with what we have now. That's what He's using. We can work with it. Yeah, we can work with what He's using now. So work with what you have now and don't allow anybody cause you to think wrongly, cause you to act wrongly, cause you to be in fear in a certain way. Work with what you have now. Trust God to grow you through the stages. So if you hear somebody saying that these people are doing this, tell them that Pastor already told us that. But God is helping us and God will help us in Jesus' name. And we are believing that the mistakes will be minimal, but mistakes that will come. How do you learn? You make mistakes. You make mistakes. That's how you learn. Everybody learns like that. There are things that 10 years to come, I probably might not handle it the way I'm handling it now. It's the same thing. We grow through the times and we grow through the years. There are insights I'll have in 5 years. I don't have them today. Yeah, insight into God's word, I'll have them quite a couple of years ahead. I don't have it today. But that does not mean I should not teach what I know. And even if what I teach that I know is not right, I mean, there's room for correction in the years ahead. So don't get jittery and don't get worried. There's room. God allows that. And He is well aware of it. You think He just calls you and He calls you and He sends you? I mean, just look at all of these patriarchs of the faith. Look at what they went through. All these things were for teaching. So I myself, I know that very well. Yeah, I myself, I know it very well. I'm sure there are some years to come, there are some sermons that I'll have to say, okay, this one was too immature. Let's skip it off. Let's have this. Then we reteach it again. So over the years, we're going to be building on what we have as foundations. Building on them. That's how it happens. Revelation is progressive. It's progressive. It doesn't come instantaneously 100% light. Never happens. We can check how the church, growth structure or system was. Yeah, Revelation has always been progressive. 20 years ago, or 40 years ago, even speaking in tongues was seen as a crime. Just 50 years ago, or 40 years ago, if you spoke in tongues, they said you were a devil, you were a demon, you had this. But today, everybody, when you say you don't speak in tongues, everybody is wondering, how did the church grow in this kind of a knowledge? It was over time. So we are also going to grow over time. So be happy. Be happy about everything. Everything is going to keep getting better and better once our hearts are right with God and are right with Him. So you will honor by acknowledging, by having right thoughts. Right thoughts. Don't accuse, don't blame, don't reproach. Show disgrace, don't humiliate, don't disrespect, don't condemn. Think rightly. Don't say my pastor is a young man. No, don't see it like that. Every pastor was once young. That's why I laugh at people in my mind who try to feel like you are a young person. You are a young person. So he's a young person. Every pastor started young. No pastor started 45. Yeah. Bishop Dark started when he was 25. Mensa Otavo started when he was 20 something, 5 or 4 or so. Bishop Vajinasari started 26. Yeah. Yeah. Pastor Chris started in his teens. Had his first crusade at 9. What would you say about that one too? Then God has not called him. God has not done this. God has not done this. Kenneth Hagin started at 16. Are you telling me that all these people never made mistakes? If you read Kenneth Hagin, you'll tell you that he has made mistakes. Now he has he's even tired. After the time he was following God's plan for your life, he had 50 years in ministry. Tell you all his mistakes he made. Don't be afraid of mistakes. They are all part and parcel of it. You say your pastor is too young. Just ask. Every pastor was young. Every pastor that is doing well started young. Started young. So don't look at me like I'm too young to pastor you. I'm not too young to pastor you. Not too young. They all started like me. They all started like all of us together. Where's that? We all started. So be excited that you are young and you are useful and you're going to be used by God. Many times when people say, "Ah, you're very young," and you're, hey, please, everybody is young. Everybody was young. So think rightly. When you have people call you and they tell you things that are wrong, and then we've heard that this ministry, just listen to what they're saying, but don't listen. Actually, yeah, don't listen. Actually. Then before you realize, you're starting to think wrongly. You're starting to doubt the same thing that blessed you. Oh, you're starting to doubt the same thing that. The same thing that brought a lot of blessing to your life. You're starting to look at it again. So I can tell you. The devil is going to try to get you in his path by playing the dishonor card. Because when you play the dishonor card, even God is not on your side. Even God is not on your side. So let me tell you something. Honor your pastor. Let me sound it very loud and very clear. Don't allow anybody to say it's too young to receive honor and you are overdoing it. When you honor your pastor, you honor your teachers as well. Honor the brethren. Yes, it's very important. So think rightly. You see, think rightly. Don't teach you another. You honor by acknowledging. It was what I was thinking rightly. You also honor. I'm teaching you practically how to honor. By acknowledging. You honor. By acknowledging. Don't just be used to not acknowledging. No. You see, when you honor someone, you notice the person. You notice the person. That's like those who are close to me, when we finish services and you are going home early. And I say, no, this person is a very dishonorable. I couldn't have done this. Yeah, because you don't notice that there's somebody around. So when you honor someone, you're able to notice, you're able to acknowledge, you're able to give the person the attention because he is worthy of it. But when you dishonor, you disregard, you ignore, you neglect, you show a certain kind of a false honor, like I want to be out of here, but I need to be here. It's a sign when you see that somebody can wait for you. It's a sign of honor. Yeah. It's just somebody goes immediately, like they don't care. Especially when they have that comment, they just leave. Yeah. Waiting is a sign of honor. It's a sign that I acknowledge that this person is here. I acknowledge that this person is here. When you disregard, you neglect, you ignore. How are you able to feel? And let me put it very well so it comes out very clearly. So when you disregard, you ignore, you neglect, you don't see a reason why you wait. And the waiting sometimes is unbearable. It's unbearable. But somebody who understands honor can wait a long time. If you are not gone, they are not gone. Except they have something an emergency to attend to. They are around till you leave. Or except you insist that they leave. That's why they mention people's names at programs to acknowledge their presence. It's to say that, hey, we've noticed that so-so-and-so came for the program. That's why also some people don't get happy when you don't notice their presence. Because it's dishonoring. It's dishonoring. When you are noticed, it's because you are being honored. A man of honor. A prophet may be ignored in his own country. In other words, he is not without honor, except in his own country. A prophet may be ignored in his own country. He may not be noticed or regarded in his own country. So when you fail to notice, that's why when I'm talking to somebody and somebody interrupts the talk and the person is able to stop talking to me and attend to the person, they come back to me and they say, "Pastor, please, what were you saying?" May I pay attention to a lot of things? You might not even know that I've seen this in many people. You see them around, you're talking to them, someone interrupts and they say, Pastor, please, sorry. What do you mean? What do you mean? What it means that person is more important is that they don't recognize that they can acknowledge. Yeah. But when you work with honorable people, they don't do that. When you see somebody, I allow the person around me, many of them, because I feel like the person is an honorable person. Yeah. When you see somebody around me and I feel okay around the person, I feel like this person should be around me all the time. This person should come around. This person should be, I want to go everywhere with them. It means that the person can recognize me. Yeah. Doesn't shake when anybody is disrupted. Doesn't talk. Seeks the person's honor. So when you fail to notice, leaving a person self-announced, you don't mean like, you know, oh, what are you talking about? It's a sure sign that you're not honored. When a person walks into a place and everybody's head is fixed to their phones, that's why I stop people from who are around me from using their phones. Because yeah, pastor is very, I don't like that. When you're around me, don't use your phone. I can use my phone. You can't use your phone. You have the phone, you have the next of the phones like this, 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 like this. The pastor says something and they didn't hear. When people don't even lift up their heads from their phones to even say hello or you're welcome, the person is disregarded, is dishonored, you are unnoticed. You're working with somebody that you supposedly honor, and you have the person is working with you for 20 minutes, you have received the call for 12 minutes. What are you saying to the person who is with you? That you don't matter. You don't matter. Please hurriedly leave my presence so I can find something else to do. And these things I'm teaching you applies to your bosses and to everybody around you. Bosses with you are on your phone. Talking to you, you are replying a text. Meanwhile, you are trying to reply and listen at the same time. It's dishonoring. It's dishonoring. It's very dishonorable. Yeah. Many times you must single-handedly or heartedly know who your honor is to, so that you're not confused at any point in time. So, how are you going to acknowledge someone? You're going to honor someone by making public mention of the person. When you mention a person's name in a speech, you mention a person's name in a sermon, you mention a person's name as a result of you learning from the person, you make reference to them. My pastor said, I were taught. That's proof that you have a certain kind of an honor for them. And you make public, you're not afraid. It's like you're not afraid to associate. So Some people come to my room and say, "Hey, you have a Pastor Nathaniel versus Victor. Hey, you are a fool. You are very, don't come into my room and say those things. Don't say those things. Please, don't say those things." This one is an argumentative sermon I'm preaching, so don't worry. Don't say those things. Because sometimes these things, they must be taught hardly and harshly. And so it sticks into your heart. I saw someone's phone's wallpaper, and then I saw my picture there, and I smiled. That's honor. Hey, Omo, when you come and you see pictures flooding all over, you are saying that is not. It's the fact that I recognize. You can decide to see it the way you want to see it. That is recognition. Yeah. When you mention a person's name in a speech, you say a sermon, you honor the person. And I mean, how can you show lots of honor to your teacher over your pastor? I mean, that's crazy. I've not taught anybody that. And if I get you, you'll be really hot. Pastor is saying something, your teacher is saying something. You are listening to your teacher, and then your pastor is standing there. You and your teacher together. I'll ask him what he has been teaching you. Because if he has been teaching you rightly, you will not turn out that way. How to acknowledge someone? By making public mention. My pastor said, it should be a frequent thing in your mouth. My pastor said, my pastor taught me, my pastor says I should do this, my pastor said that, my pastor, I remember my pastor said, it's a sign of honor. Yeah, it's a sign of honor. My pastor said, what is it? You quote something that your pastor said, you add your pastor's name there. It's a sign of honor. You say as you do. I'm teaching you how to honor. I'm teaching you how to honor. Honor someone by publicly acknowledging his presence. Mentioning that person is present at the meeting is a way of also honoring them. So you're going to learn to be an honorable person. I see you becoming very honorable. A man of honor. A man of honor. So how would you also know that you are not honored? You never mention. You are quiet. It's a sign that you are not recognized. You never mention. My pastor's never. No, you're not my pastor. Me, I don't even want to be your pastor. If you don't want to be my whatever, I don't also want to be your pastor. Some people think I'm interested in. My life, I don't have a problem in this world. In Jesus' name, I don't have a problem. Yeah. Exactly. We don't want to be his pastor. Me too, I don't want to be your pastor. In fact, I'm not your pastor. It's as simple as that. It's not like I'm fighting with anybody. No. I also don't. I'm not your pastor. So when you never mention, you are quiet and you are behind the scenes. Like you are picking things and learning things that you never say anything. Oh. Nobody to ever coach you. That's the truth. You're going to honor someone by acknowledging. See, we are young. Sometimes, I see some of these things we preach and teach, and I'm like, God. Because we could have stumbled on these truths after 20 to 30 years of doing ministry. Yes, I can assure you. When we started teaching gospel, today it outrightly turns out that the gospel is very true. It's very true. When I started teaching, people were saying that it's a false teaching and all of that. It's a false teaching. And he's peddling heresies. But today, see it. Today, see it. They're encouraging people to sin. They're encouraging people to live this life. They're saying that the grace of God is today, see. Let's see. be an honorable person. Yes, be an honorable person. Be somebody that honors greatly. I learned the gospel very clearly from Pastor Prince Bekwin, and I give that honor right to him. Yes. Yes, I do. And recently I went to minister in his church, and I could see that he has really honored me. Yeah, he has really honored me by inviting me to speak. It's also another sign of honor, but that's more ministerial. That's why I didn't say it. Who stayed us in hotels for days? That's an honor. And he was there. And he was standing there. He was coming. He was meeting me. And I was walking with him into the church. That's honor. That's that I can recognize what God is doing. Yes. May God make us all honorable people. It's a beautiful thing to honor God's grace. A very, very beautiful thing, I tell you. So don't listen to anyone. I said people are going to speak things to you. When they do, don't fall in for the trap. Don't fall in for the trap. Keep your mind sane. Think rightly. Acknowledge. God's going to use those people to bless you if you can think rightly. I see God helping you to understand what I'm teaching you now. You will become an honorable person. Tomorrow I'm going to go more into substance. Become an honorable person. You know how to recognize. I can tell you for a true fact. Yeah. Even the ladies around me, I know the ones that are good at honoring. Yeah, I know. I can tell you that this one, she's good. She's good at it. She knows how to do it. She will not give you a lot of trouble. Okay, this one, she tries. You can manage with this one. You're quiet. You're not thinking what category you'll be. That's why I'm teaching you, so that you will learn. With all of these things that I'm teaching you in God's word, you should not fail to receive God's grace upon your pastor. And your homes should not fail. Your home should not fail. Your home should not. With all these things you are learning, if it fails, then you didn't listen. You didn't listen. Right? You truly listened and you are taking everything. So, this one, I had it wrong. Let me correct it. Pastor says it's wrong. Then you clean it from there. This one, yeah, I thought differently, but Pastor has just said, so let me just change it. You see that your life becomes better and better and better and better. I can also tell the ladies how some guys will be a blessing to you. I can tell you, this one, he's a wonderful, honorable person. He's going to treat you well. This one, the way I see him, he's not that. He tries, but he's not that. He's not that. This one, as for this one, they no, it's not good. It's not good. Don't, if you love him, that's fine, but be careful. The way he treats me, if he treats you the same way, you might not be happy, but you just be careful. Can be there, you've not heard from me, you don't call me. 7 days, 1 week, you've not heard from me. The same thing that you're going to do with your just disappear. She just be crying on that. Pastor, my husband is God, but you have to help me. I say, but your husband is fine. He's fine. He's not called me in 7 days. You, he can, he's fine. 5 days like, Pastor, my husband has called. He said that he had an emergency. He had to be here in Dubai for 3 days. He said he couldn't call me. I said, I told you it was fine now. stopping. He could ignore me for 2 weeks. He has never texts, never calls, never says anything. Yeah. Never says anything. He never says it. He's always quiet. Never talks to me. I can tell you, never says anything. Until I tell him, do this, do that, do that. That's, you go and do it, then you come back. He's looking at me. He never says anything. Never shares anything with me. Never tells me what is in his mind. The pastor, you know, my husband doesn't talk to me. He doesn't call me. He doesn't tell me what is in his mind. I don't know what. So it's like when I'm saying, I feel like he's going to be a suicide bomber. You didn't know. That's the guy you had, this potential suicide. He keeps things in his mind. He doesn't share with anyone. He doesn't say anything. You see him around, like, he never says anything. He's in the mind. You see him knocking the mind like this. So I say, calculation. Hard. Yes, that's how he does. Knock his mind like calculation. That's what it is. Yeah. And somebody will call me. I said, this one, he will call you. And when you do it now, you see that he's calling you. Morning, he has called you. Evening, he has called you. The next morning at dawn, he's calling you just to hear from you. Just to hear from you. So this one is good. This one is good. Yeah. The way they treat me, that's how they're going to treat their husbands and their wife. The same way. I'm telling you the truth. We'll all be here, we'll see. The same way they love me. The same. The ladies, the same. The man, the same. This is not different. Because the one you honor is the one you lavish, pour out, talk to, text, call. You just want to be around. Yeah. So that I can help. I can tell you freely. You might say, it's like when they are in the dating stages, it might be like he loves you. He calls you every time. He texts you. Wait and see. Wait and see. 6 months after getting married, 1 year, you see that he will now show you true colors. He will now show you red. It's now red. You are seeing red. Yeah. It's the way you're dating. He can't sleep without me. He's just texting me. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. Let me close. I've finished teaching you what I wanted to teach you. Yes, in my mind, I've taught you. I've said everything I wanted to say without any restraints. Yeah, said everything. When I finish, I will lie on my bed and laugh. I said, wow, this boy, I've said everything I wanted to say. Yes. Nobody can say, oh, Pastor couldn't say this, and he was keeping. I've said everything I wanted to you to learn and to know. So from today, start changing. From today, start changing. From this evening, start changing. From this teaching, start changing. Are you being blessed? Receive my teachings, or they will save you many troubles and many things that people are failing at. I called somebody. And I said to the fellow, I said, see, start doing this right now. Start doing it right now. If not, you might have a very slow home. Start doing it right now. Do it right now. Be always happy. Be always happy. Flow. Father, thank you. You know, you're going to have the best of everything. Because God wanted you to have the best of everything. Yeah. That's why he's teaching you all of these things. That's why he's teaching you all of them. I'm telling you, God wants you to have the best of everything. Thank you. Lord, for a wonderful evening. Thank you, Lord, that we're learning to acknowledge. We're learning to think rightly. We're letting go of the water, the flowers. We're loving your vessel unconditionally. Our teachers, we're loving them unconditionally. We're not going to be quick to see wrongs. We're just going to be quick to receive your word and to walk in it. Thank you for grace upon grace. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.